The session is called to order. I will give the floor to the prosecutor. What do you propose to us this morning?
At this time, we would like to call witness O.O.
Good. We will therefore call for witness O.O.
What are you looking for? I told you witness O.O.
Good morning, witness O.O. Witness O.O., the prosecutor asked you to appear before this tribunal to give evidence as a prosecution witness. Before you start giving your testimony, you are going to take a solemn oath. You are therefore going to stand up and you will repeat after me, after translation into Kinyarwanda. I suppose you want to speak in Kinyarwanda. Does she want to speak in Kinyarwanda or in French? She wants to speak in Kinyarwanda. She's therefore going to repeat after me, and you will translate. She will raise her right hand. I solemnly declare, repeat please, that I will speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. She may sit down.
I apologize, Your Honor, but I think we have a slight problem. The interpreter did not translate her response. It appeared that she did repeat the oath in Kinyarwandan, but at least I did not receive a translation through the interpreter. Thank you.
So we are going to start all over again. I solemnly declare, it is not you who are solemnly declaring that you will say the truth. It is not you, the witness. It is the witness. We are going to start all over again. It is the witness who has to make a solemn declaration. You are an interpreter. Have you taken an oath here? I don't remember that. Hold on, gentlemen. Stop and listen. And that is why I asked you whether you are an interpreter here, because the interpreters already know how this procedure takes place. Listen, you repeat after me. I will be speaking in French. You translate into Kinyarwanda, and the witness will answer in Kinyarwanda. Is that all right? Is that okay, correct? And what you she will be saying in Kinyarwanda, you will translate into French. Have you understood now? I solemnly declare. I solemnly declare. If you do not understand how it happens, I think we'll ask for another interpreter. Another interpreter, please. We are wasting time. Another interpreter, please. I solemnly declare. I solemnly declare that I will speak the truth. That I will speak the truth. The whole truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. And nothing but the truth. As I usually do with all the witnesses, I would like to tell the witness to testify without fear. Nothing will happen to her here. She's not an accused, she's only a witness. But in accordance with her solemn declaration, she has sworn to tell to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. In spite of what happened in Rwanda, she should speak without hatred or without taking sides. And to speak nothing but the truth. Having said this, Mr. Prosecutor, I will now give you the floor.
Thank you, Your Honors. Good morning. Good morning, witness O.O.
Good morning.
Back in April of 1994, could you tell us where you lived? And you can just say which commune. That would be sufficient.
I was living in the Taba commune.
And is that in Rwanda?
Yes.
Around April 6th or April 7th of 1994, did you receive news that the plane of the president had crashed?
I heard it when I was on the road near the Runda commune. I was in the home of my paternal aunt.
Oh, which day this was?
No, I do not remember the date.
You said you were on your way to Runda. What happened upon receiving this news?
I returned to my house.
Did you ever actually make it to Runda?
No, I did not.
Why did you turn around and go home?
I was told that there was no safety between the Runda and Taba communes.
Did anyone ever give you any details why there was no safety or security at Runda or Taba?
I was told that there was a road block which had been set up by the Interahamwe.
Excuse me, Your Honors, I believe the accused has his hand raised.
Thank you, Mr. President. When the witness was asked a question, she said there was a problem between the Runda commune and Taba commune, which gives the impression, well, the translation said that it was between Runda and Taba, which gives the impression that Runda was opposed to Taba, for example. In fact, she said at the border. And the translation said between Taba and Runda. According to your understanding, what did she say? If we look at the French version, one would think that Runda was opposed to Taba, whereas she said it was at the border between the two communes. So ask the question again, where was she? It would appear that there was some kind of opposition between Taba and Runda. Ask her exactly. Where did she learn about the plane crash? She learned about it when she was going to her paternal father to paternal aunt to Runda. We understood that. And the prosecutor asked her, did you have time to reach Runda? She said no, because she was told there was no security between Runda and Taba. Now take the question again, please. Was there no security between Runda and Taba, or did she arrive at the border? She should be more explicit. The accused doesn't seem to be in agreement with the translation. When I heard about the plane crash, I was on my way to my paternal aunt's home. At Runda? Yes. Why did she not arrive at the home of her paternal aunt? It is because I was told that on the border between Taba and Runda there was no security. Are you satisfied, the accused? There was no security on the border between Runda and Taba.
And did they tell you what was happening at the border of Runda and Taba?
I was told that the Interahamwe were killing people.
On your way back to Taba, what was the, or to your home, what was the atmosphere like in Taba?
There was no problem apart from the fact that the Interahamwes were on the road.
Were they doing anything in particular?
They were not doing anything. They spent their day there.
How did you know they were Interahamwe?
They had an MRND uniform, and they are the members of the MRND who are called Interahamwe.
Did you eventually make it to your home?
Yes, I reached home.
At some point in time, maybe in the following days, did the situation change in Taba or in your particular neighborhood?
The following days, the situation changed.
How did it change?
People could go to their neighbors' homes and they took their livestock.
Did you actually see this happening?
Yes.
Were they doing anything in particular with the livestock?
They killed them. They took the livestock, killed it, and took the meat with them.
The people who lost their livestock, do you know whether or not they were Hutu or Tutsi?
They were Hutus. They were Tutsis.
Who was taking the livestock, if you know?
There were people who were living close to us.
The people who were taking it, do you know if they were Hutu or Tutsi?
They were Hutus.
Upon seeing this, how did you feel?
We were afraid.
Why were you afraid?
It is because we saw that the livestock was being taken away and killed. Whereas the livestock, or the cows more precisely, had done nothing.
Back in April of 1994, were you considered to be a Hutu or a Tutsi?
I was considered a Tutsi.
At this time, upon seeing these events, did you stay in your home?
Sometimes we stayed home, and at other times we spent the night outside. They looted us. After they looted us, we had to abandon our homes to stay elsewhere.
Okay, we'll get to the looting in a minute. Why would you stay outside of your house?
It is because our cows had been taken away and we were being looked at with some evil intent.
You said your home was looted. Did you see this happening?
Yes, I saw it. I do not remember them, but I knew some of them.
Do you know if these people who looted your home were Hutu or Tutsi?
They were Hutus.
After your home was looted, what did you do?
We sought refuge at the commune.
Why did you choose to go to the Bureau Communal?
It is because that was the closest authority to us.
Authority to do?
We knew that the authority was going to prevent these people from attacking our property.
Who went with you to the Bureau Communal?
I went with my family.
How many people were in your family?
Many. There were many.
Can you give us an estimate, a number?
I do not know the exact number.
Okay. Had you ever been to the Bureau Communal before?
No, I never went there before.
Do you recall what day it was that you went to the Bureau Communal?
I don't remember the date. I only remember the month.
Is that the month of April, 94?
Yes.
Do you recall what time of day it was when you arrived at the Bureau Communal?
It was in the morning around 9 a.m.
I should have asked you this before. How did you go to the Bureau Communal? Did you walk or were you taken by vehicle?
I walked.
When you arrived at the Bureau Communal, were there any other persons there?
Yes, there were other persons there.
Can you describe for us what you saw when you first arrived at the Bureau Communal, please?
I saw nothing special.
Well, of the people that were there refugees present?
Yes.
Where were these refugees?
They were in front of the Bureau Communal under the trees that are there.
Were they on the same side of the road as the Bureau Communal, or were they across the street?
They were on the other side of the road.
At this time, of this group of refugees, were they men, women, or children?
They were mixed.
Do you know if these refugees were Hutu or Tutsi?
They were Tutsis.
You know this?
They were neighbors and they had been looted also. Their homes had also been looted.
Do you know if any of these people, this group of refugees, if they were armed, carrying any weapons?
They were not armed.
Could you give us an estimate of how many refugees were present at that time?
I cannot know the number.
Maybe 10 or more?
It was more than that. They were numerous.
Did you join this group?
Yes, I joined the group.
What happened at this time, if anything?
After some time, a vehicle, a red vehicle full of Interahamwe arrived. When the vehicle arrived, it stopped.
Where did this vehicle stop exactly?
Very close to the fence of the commune.
Was this on the road or within the communal compound?
It was on the road.
What did this group of Interahamwe do at this time, if anything?
When the vehicle stopped, they came down. Two, four, or five came to us. They asked us, why are you afraid? Are you in Katanyi's?
As this was happening, do you know where the burgmaster, the leader of the commune, was at this time?
Premises of the Bureau Communal.
How do you know this?
Somebody showed him to me because before I didn't know him.
Can you describe the person you saw on that day, please?
I cannot describe him because that happened a long time ago and I was still young, so that I cannot remember him now.
Do you remember if the person was tall or short?
Me?
Oh, the burgmaster that was pointed out to you, was that person tall or short?
He was tall and slim, but not that slim.
Okay, and you said he, so I take it was a man?
I don't know, but it was a man, a male person. I don't know whether he was young or married.
Okay. When this person was pointed out to you, did someone say what his name was? What the name of the burgmaster was?
Yes, they told me his name.
What name did they tell you?
They told me that his name was Akayezu Jean-Paul.
Do you think you'd be able to recognize this person if you saw this person again?
That happened a long time ago. I don't know whether I could recognize him easily. I was still young. I was barely 15.
At this time, I would ask you to take a look around the courtroom and tell me if you see someone that looks like the person you saw on that day, the burgmaster.
You want me to look at him or show him to you, over?
Yes, if you see him.
If I recognize him, I can show him to you. If I don't show him to you, it's because I did not recognize him.
That is fine. Just please look around the courtroom.
Will you start on that side? Can you see him on that side? Maybe that's the man who is there.
Pointing towards the interpreter. On the entire courtroom, see if you see anyone else.
Mr. Prosecutor, that's why I did it. I asked the witness to start on that side. So already she has made a mistake, so we will go on the other side now. I have not recognized him.
That is fine. After these Interahamwe approached you and asked you if you were afraid, because are you in Katanyi, what happened at this time?
I turned around to look, but when I saw next to me, the Interahamwe who had remained in the car were starting to kill people.
Can you describe what you saw them doing, please?
I saw that they were killing people with machetes.
Hitting?
Anywhere. They were hitting anywhere they could.
What happened next?
We tried to run away. Between the people who had come to speak to us, there were some neighbors. Two girls who were with me were asked to stop. We stopped. That's because they told us to stop. They asked us to stop.
What happened at this time?
We stopped. They came, they went back near the Bureau Communal and they told Akayezu, we are taking these girls away and we are going to sleep with them.
Were those the exact words? We are going to sleep with them?
That they were going to make love to us. They were taking us to make love to us.
Did this person, Akayezu, respond?
Yes, they said, take them. take them. Sorry.
How far away were you from the person that was identified to you as Akayesu at this time?
From the road. In order to get within the premises of the Bureau Communal, it's about 5 meters.
What happened at this time?
He allowed them to take us. We left, and on the road we separated. A person named Antoine asked me to go with him, and the others went away with the others.
You want to go with him at this time?
No, it's because he had called me. It is as if it was forced, because nobody wanted to follow them.
How were you feeling at this time?
We were desperate, because we were seeing that they were killing people.
What did you think was going to happen to you?
I thought that maybe if they took me, maybe below, they could also kill me.
What happened at this time?
We went down, a little further down, and in a big banana field, a place called Mugihare. When we arrived there, he asked me to sit down, and I refused. He pushed me to the ground, then he pressed his leg on my leg.
When you say he, is this person Antoine?
Yes, it's Antoine.
At this time, do you know where the other two women or girls were?
I did not know where they were, where they had been taken.
Now, witness OO, I realize that this may be difficult to speak about, but could you please tell us in detail what happened at this time?
Yes.
What happened?
After he pushed me to the ground, he pressed on me. He pulled down his clothes. And he also pulled down my clothes. And he put his sex into mine. I started to cry. And he said, if you continue to shout or cry, there might be some others who will come on you. And that will be to finish with you.
What happened next?
When he finished, he stood up and he made me stand up, and we continued to walk.
Okay, I have to ask you a difficult question. When you say he put his sex into mine, does that mean that he penetrated your vagina with his penis?
Yes.
After this event finished, how were you feeling emotionally?
Normally, when you shout, it's because you are in pain.
What happened next?
In the banana field, there was a little rivulet, and there was some water there, and he started to wash himself.
This time?
I was still there, and when he finished, he showed me where I should go in the banana field after the river, on the other side of the river.
When he showed you this place, did he say anything to you or give you any instructions?
He told me to go there and that he would meet me where he left me, to show me where I was going to spend the night.
What happened next?
I remained in the banana field, and when he came at night, he took me to a lady called Zimba.
What happened once you reached this woman's house?
I spent the night at that lady's. And I spent 3 nights there.
During these 3 nights, did anything happen to you?
Nothing.
Did Antoine ever come back to see you during those 3 nights?
No, he never came back.
What happened, if anything, after the third night?
On the fourth night, he took me to another Interahamwe called Emmanuel.
When you say he, is that Antoine?
Yes, I'm speaking of Antoine.
What happened when Antoine took you to Emmanuel's house?
Emmanuel and Antoine took me on the ground that they were going to show me another place and where I should sleep. And when they took me, on the way, they would sleep with me, and then they would bring me back to Emmanuel's.
Let's stop here for a second. When you say they would sleep with me, what would happen exactly?
Antoine repeated what he had done before, and when he had finished, it was Emmanuel's turn.
And when you say he repeated what he did before, is that, to use your words, where he put his sex into your sex?
No, at that time, it was a complete thing, a complete relations, intercourse. Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. On this first day that they took you and did this, what happened after this?
The following days, Emmanuel came. He chased me from the house one night at 11 p.m.
Second witness, O.O. Did Emmanuel and Antoine, did they take you only on one occasion? On one night?
I spent 3 days and three nights there, and each time they would take me.
And on those each occasions, would Antoine and Emmanuel do the same thing to you?
Yes.
What happened after the third occasion where they took you?
He came, he chased me away about 11 p.m. and I left. I passed below Emmanuel's house in the swamp, and I passed there in order to avoid the patrols. I reached Greenery. I continued and I went up. I arrived at our house. I arrived at an official's house and I went into his kitchen. I spent the night in that kitchen. And the next morning, I went into the woods.
Where was this official while you were spending time in the kitchen?
It was our neighbor in Taba.
Was he in the kitchen with you?
No.
Who let you into the kitchen?
He didn't know because I went in at night.
Now you mentioned the next day you left the kitchen. Where did you go?
I went into the woods.
How long did you stay there?
I would do it every day, and at night I would go back to the kitchen.
For how many days did you do this?
For 4 days. Then they instituted a law saying that girls and women no longer had to be killed. Those who told me that are the persons who were giving me food, and they added that at the Bureau Communal there will be a meeting.
What did you do at this time?
On the day of the meeting, I went with the others.
Where did you go?
I went to the meeting.
Do you know who was giving this meeting?
It was the Burgmaster.
The Burgmaster of which commune?
Of the Taba commune.
Is this what you were told?
Yes.
When you arrived at this meeting, can you tell us how many people were in attendance?
There were many.
The people?
There were Hutus and a few Tutsi girls.
At this meeting, did anyone take the floor and speak?
Yes, three persons took the floor.
Do you recall who took the floor first?
The Burgmaster was the first.
Took the floor.
Since I had seen him the first time when I sought refuge there, when he stood up, I recognized him immediately.
Did you recognize him as the same person you saw at the Bureau Communal that gave permission for you to be taken away?
Yes. I saw that he was the one.
What did he say at this time?
He said, that when a snake is creeping on something, we break that thing and then you kill the serpent, the snake. When a snake is creeping on a calabash, you break the calabash in order to kill the snake.
What did that mean to you?
This is, he explained that even a child who is suckling, if one of the parents is Tutsi, that child must be taken away from the mother's breast and the child should be killed, then you take care of the mother later on.
Did he say anything else?
I do not remember exactly what he said, but there are others who took the floor after him.
Do you recall who took the floor next?
The two persons who took the floor later on, I do not exactly remember who said what, but I simply recollect what they said.
What did they say?
One of them said that they should all be killed so that someday a child who will be born should ask, what did a Tutsi look like?
Do you remember anything else that was said?
The other one said, I will have peace when there will be no longer a Tutsi in Rwanda.
What were you feeling at this time?
I was afraid.
These other two speakers, do you know who they were, their names?
One of them is called Kugimana, and the other one is called Hufigimana.
Kubimana. Is his first name Silas, if you know?
Yes. And what is the other one's name? Ruvigamana. I do not know his first name.
What did you do at this time?
Some were happy, the others were not very happy, and at that time I stood up and went away.
Where did you go to?
I returned to the bush where we were living.
How long did you stay there?
In that bush I spent a few days, but I also went to spend some nights in the same kitchen. And my younger sister met me there. We spent a few days there, and the official saw us behind the kitchen, but before entering the kitchen. And he was going to the roadblock. We went into the kitchen and slept. Since he was our neighbor, we thought he was not going to harm us. When he arrived, he sent the Interahamwes. They found us in the kitchen and they took us to the roadblock. When we reached, we found two others, one by name Venust and the other, I don't know where they had found him. My younger sister Venust and the third man were imprisoned that night. I spent the night in a small kitchen where meat was roasted. I spent the night with an old man who had housed that gentleman. And the following day in the morning, they were killed. I stayed there the whole day while they went to eat the cow of the old man, the old man's cow. Another Interahamwe called Simon came. Simon asked that I should be taken to another place, and he asked them to come and look for me when they please. They took me to another Interahamwe called Gad. I stayed at Gad's home until the day they escaped. And when they escaped, I went to my paternal aunt's home, who was married to a Hutu.
And were you safe from that day on?
When they escaped, I went to my aunt's home, and there I felt safe. The only problem I had was that I had no relatives, I had no brother or sister.
And when these events were happening, how old were you?
I was 15 years old.
Witness OO, I'd like to thank you for your testimony. Your Honors, I have no further questions. Thank you.
It is 11 a.m. Maybe we should suspend us all and then we'll begin with the cross-examination. The hearing stands adjourned. We'll resume in 15 minutes' time.
Please be seated.
Draw the curtains and bring in witness OO. Counsel, I'll give you the floor for the cross-examination of witness OO. Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, madam. Good morning. I would like to know how old you are now. I am 18 years old. I was born in 1977. In April 1994, were you still at school? I had just completed my 6 years of primary school. In what year did you begin your primary school education? I do not quite remember. If I understand correctly, you completed your studies in 1993. Yes. And if you spent 6 years in school, that means you went to school in 1987. Unless I start counting in 1973. In 73, I was in the first year. In 74, the second year. I think by so counting, I could know when I started primary education. What I want to know is, from 1990 to 1993, you were in school at Taba. There was an error, madam. When you are interpreting, you don't make an error. Tell us, was she in 1972? What date did you give? Mr. President, he was born in 1979 and she could not be in school in 1972. That is what I heard, says the president. Yes, the counsel says that is what I also heard. So the interpreter should tell us exactly what she hears without errors. All I remember is that when the war broke out, I was 15 years old. And at the moment, I am 18 years old. But if you want to know the date when I started, when I went to school, then we have to calculate. It's not necessary, Mr. President, says the counsel. What I want to know is, from 1990 to 1993, were you indeed in primary school at Taba? No, I was not in school at Taba. Where were you at school? I went to school at Herigiri Chenye, and since I was living with my grandmother, where did you go to school? Could you repeat that? Nyari Chenhe. Can you spell that? NYABIKE. Nya B K K. I only came back to Taba in 1993. In April 1993, you were still at school, is that correct? I had completed school because when my grandmother died, I had completed schooling. And you returned to settle in Taba. In September 1993, I returned to Taba. What were you doing in April 1994 in Taba? I was living in my house. You mean in your parents' home, asked the counsel? Yes, says the witness. How many days after the attack against President Habyarimana, how many days after that attack, after how many days did you leave your house to seek refuge at the Bureau Communal? Approximately 1 week. You don't have an exact idea of the day? No, I do not remember the day. Do you remember having been questioned by the prosecutor's office in Rwanda? Yes, I do remember. On what date? I do not remember the date. In what year? I do not quite remember. When you were questioned by the prosecutor's office, you said that it was 4 days after the president's plane crashed. Do you remember that? I didn't say 4 days. I said approximately 1 week. Maybe it is the person who took the statement who made a mistake. Do you know Mr. Akayesu well? I was not able to recognize him today because I saw him only once, and I did not often go to the Bureau Communal. When I saw him again, it was at the meeting. I did not pay much attention to him. I only heard what was said at the meeting. You saw Akayesu once or several times? I saw him twice. After having seen Akayesu twice, you cannot recognize him in the room today? I did not recognize him because it is a long time ago and I was still small, I was still young. I had so many problems, I did not have time to look at someone closely. You didn't have time to look at someone well, but you had time to hear what the person said. I was so anxious that I was not able to look at him detailly. I did not know I was going to survive, that I was going to be alive today. How many of your relatives were with you at the Bureau Communal? I do not know the number. We were very many. About how many? I cannot make an estimate. All I know is that it was a big family. Did you all go together? Yes, we all went together. With the permission of the tribunal, I would like that Exhibit 127 be projected. Exhibit 127. You have the floor, counsel. Can the witness tell us exactly where she was at the Bureau Communal on this picture? I cannot interpret this picture. This is the Bureau Communal. And here is the Cultural Center. This is to help the witness. At what spot were you? This is the Kigali Road, which passes here. Were you here or there? The witness would want to know the direction to Kigali. Kigali is here, says the counsel. Counsel, could we ask her whether she recognizes the road that passes by the Bureau Communal? Yes, I can recognize the road. This morning she said that we were on the other side of the road. Since you recognize the road, where is the other side of the road that she talked about? Where it is written JG, there are eucalyptus trees. JJ, rather, where there are small houses and another house. Here, says the council. Is it here? The president speaking. Counsel, I would like to make an observation, a remark to the interpreter. Earlier on, she said at the right, and it is you who said JJ. You do not have to suggest an answer, interpreter. She said on the right, and the interpreter added JJ. I heard you tell her where it is written JJ. You don't have to make any clarifications, interpreter. So we are going to say where it is written. I cannot read the picture very well. Now, you, the president is speaking. You talked about JJ. Where does that come from? That is where we were, in fact. Where, asked the president. There are eucalyptus trees there. Here, asked the council. Here? No, that is towards Kigali. It's on the other side, says a witness. That is where you have eucalyptus trees. Yes, it is there. And where was Mr. Akayesu? He was within the premises. Which premises? Which fence? Within the fence? Which fence? The fence of the Bureau Communal, very close to the flag. Where is the flag? It is within the enclosure of the Bureau Communal. Where is the flag? It is within the enclosure, within the fence of the Bureau Communal. Is it in front of the Bureau Communal? The witness would like to know where the flag is on this map so that she could be able to give more clarifications. He was to the right of the flag, to the right of this point. What is the distance which separated Akaizu from the witness? I could not measure the distance. From where the witness was, could she hear what Akaizu was saying? I heard what he said when I was passing close to him as the other Interahamwes dragged me on. That's all right, Mr. President, says the counsel. The President's microphone, please. The President's microphone, please. Sorry, we still can't hear the President. I thought you had a clarification to ask for. So far, so good, Mr. President. So you take your place and we continue. Counsel, you have the floor, you can continue. Thank you, Mr. President. In the month of April 1994, did you lose any other members of your family? Before the plane crashed or after the plane crashed? Counsel says after the crash of the plane. Before we went to the Bureau Communal, everybody was alive. Nobody was dead. And after? After everybody died except I and my paternal aunt. Did you know Turet Sinze? Yes, I know him. His other name is Antoine. It is the very person who went to sleep with me at Arhum Harry. How do you explain that he was among the people who came from Rukuma, whereas he is Ruzege? He came in a vehicle with other people. He came with people who approached us to talk to us. Do you know the Rukuma region well? In which sector is it located? It is in the Taba commune. I think it is in the Bukokora sector, Bukokora. We often went there to be treated, but I do not live in the same sector. Ruke is rather in the Muhehe sector. Does the witness know the Muhehe sector? The Muhehe sector is found a little bit further below, very close to the river. Murehe, the Murehe sector. You said that at the time you were taken to be raped, Akaesu said nothing, and that if he had said something, people would have obeyed him. Why do you believe in such an assertion? Sorry, the president said something. Well, he seems to say that the witness didn't say that today. And the counsel says that statement was made in the month of June. And the president says we do not have that statement. We could have it and cross-check. We'll finish and I'll give you the floor later on. Well, I think give the floor to Akaesu, who the president meant.
Order, I do have copies of the statements here. It will be marked exhibit number 129. And also I'd ask that if counsel does allude to the statement, he makes it clear that he's talking about what the witness said in her statement as opposed to what was said in court today. Thank you.
You can see that I asked for clarification because the statement that he was referring to was not made today. That's why I asked for clarification to see whether this was made before you. If so, then we need to have the document. Counsel, I give you the floor. Thank you, Mr. President. Accused is now speaking. Mr. President, I would like to insist upon the translation. Because with the transcriptions we are receiving, the Kinyarwanda is not located in those transcriptions. So a moment ago, we were asking the witness about Antoine, and they said it was said he came in the same group, but it was said that she did not know where the person had come from. That was not said in the interpretation. I think it'd be very useful for everyone here to understand what is being said, because we have no Kinyarwanda transcript. That's why I'm bringing this up, Your Honor. Microphone to the President, please. Yes, it's also the concern of this tribunal. Every time I hear expressions in French and it is not well said, I point this out. I do not speak Kinyarwanda. I believe that's how it's called, Kinyarwanda. I thank you for raising this issue. You are right to do so. If the interpretation was not correct, it is, of course, your duty to make that clear. Thank you, Mr. President, says the accused. Counsel, you have the floor. Mr. President, I'd like to resume then. I'd like to ask the question that I drew from the witness statement made by the Office of the Prosecutor in 1997, in June. It was in paragraph 4. Before the interpreter is not yet on that page, if the counsel would hold off before reading so we can get to that section. I think I read very quickly, and perhaps the interpretation was not possible. Please hold on a moment. We're trying to verify with the English checks to make sure we can find the exact passage in which he's speaking. We want to make sure that we can see it in English as well. Where it's the underlying sentence, Your Honor. You'll find it in the English text, Your Honor.
Paragraph 3 of the English text.
Paragraph 3.
It's also underlined in the English version, Your Honor. Thank you, Mr. Prosecutor, for that clarification. Very well. The question I would like to ask, you say that you do not know Mr. Akeezu, but how can you then affirm that he has such an authority and to say that no one could rape you? If he had wanted to, and if he had told them not to take me, then they would have accepted, because he was the superior. I heard the word Burmester when she was speaking in Kinyarwanda. Why did you not translate, why did you translate this by superior? You should translate it by Burmester. I believe she said the word Burmester, is that not right? The interpreter nods. Then okay, if she said so, then you should interpret that. That's what she said, she used the word Burmester. Counsel, please continue. Okay, the word Burmester was used, there's no need to continue with that. We know that he was an authority. Now, during this period, was the Burmester obeyed? I never saw people disobey him, and these are people from his commune. Can you refer to the people who did not disobey him? Counsel, can you repeat the question? I don't understand exactly what you're looking for. She stated that there were some people who did not disobey the Burmester. I would like to know if she could name a few of these people who did not disobey the Burmester. No, I think it's the opposite that she said. Once again, this is the poor expression in French. She said, I don't know any people who disobeyed him. This is what she said. I think it was poorly interpreted. That's why you did not understand what she said. She said it was an authority, and that she didn't know a single person who disobeyed him. That's what she said. I did not understand the interpretation. I didn't understand what was said. So, please, will the interpreter repeat what was stated? Was Akeezu obeyed by everyone, or were there some people who disobeyed him? I never saw any people disobey him. Okay, now it's clear. All right, fine. What was the distance between your house and Emmanuel's house? It's about away. On foot? On foot, says the interpreter. What was your house covered with? Was it covered with sheet metal or something like that? Yes, with tile. How long would it take then to destroy your house? I don't know when they began. I don't know when they finished. You stated that you were hidden in the kitchen of an official. Can you please describe for us the layout of this kitchen? It was a kitchen with two rooms in it. There was a door, and there was another room. So if I understand correctly, it was a kitchen that was inside of the house. No, first there's the house, and then there's a space, and then there was a kitchen. I would like to ask the witness how she was able to find her sister in the bush. She found me in the kitchen. Did she know beforehand that you were hiding in the kitchen? She did not know. I saw that she just came right where I was. So it's by chance that you found each other there in the kitchen? Yes. If she found me there, it's just by chance that she found me there. I would like for the witness to talk a little bit about the meeting that she attended at the Bureau Communal that was presided over by Mr. Akeezu, or in which Mr. Akeezu participated. Akeezu was presiding over this meeting, and he was accompanied by Kubwimana and Kuvumana. Were there also any conseillers participating in this meeting? I meant conseillers from the commune. I did not know the conseillers. Perhaps they were present. You stated that during the course of this meeting, there were many Tutsi girls. Where did these Tutsi girls come from, since there were killings going on at that place? We had already stated that no woman or girl should be killed. And so she trusted, therefore, what was said, asks counsel. Yes, I went to the meeting because I thought that the truth was going to be said there. How did she feel about the killing of the other women? The women that were killed when, exactly, asks the witness. After the meeting. I did not see any women killed after the meeting. So the women were killed before the meeting? I did not see any women killed before the meeting. And even after the meeting, I heard that even some of the children who were on the breast of their women, of their mothers rather, were going to be killed. Yes, at that moment in time, they continued to kill, and I myself went into hiding. Didn't she see anyone killed herself? Apart from the persons who were killed in the Bureau Communal, where I took refuge before, and also the people who were killed along with my sister. I did not see any other persons killed. When she arrived at the Bureau Communal, how many people had been killed? There are more than 10. More than 10 persons had been killed when I was there. You stated in your initial witness statement, and also here in the courtroom, that Mr. Akiyezu, during the course of this meeting, had stated that when there's a snake moving around a calabash, that you must kill the snake and also destroy the calabash at the same time. If I understand correctly what the interpretation was, no, it was said that if there is a serpent within the calabash, that you should kill a serpent and break the calabash. I see, break is the term that was used, says counsel. Mr. President, is the idea that you cannot break the calabash without killing the serpent? No, Mr. President, I don't believe it was. I believe it was around the calabash, not within the calabash, that the serpent would be found. I think the serpent was around the calabash. No, but this morning, before the prosecutor, he said around, but at least Mr. Asperger and myself understood inside the calabash. You can ask the question if you wish for clarification. Huh? Yes, but I have the written statement here. Yes, okay, I understand what you have in writing, but what we heard her say this morning to us was that it was inside. Now, when she said, when she talked about the calabash, what did she understand Mr. Akiyezu to state? When a serpent or a snake moves around a calabash, then you have to break it to kill the serpent. So you break it to kill the serpent, asked the president? Yes, says the interpreter. All right, says the president. What does that mean exactly? I do not know what that means. But it was, there were more words that followed after that, and he said, even a child who was at the breast of a Hutu mother, you must take this child and kill the child, kill the mother later. Is this a proverb of some sort? Perhaps it is a proverb. I cannot really know whether or not he was going to say this. At that time, you were only 15 years old. Did you ask in your parents about the meaning of this proverb? I was no longer with my parents. During the course of the meeting, did you see any people who participated in the killings? No. In the witness statement made on the 17th of June, you stated that you had taken flight during the course of the meeting. So I wanted to know whether or not you fled before this meeting ended. I fled before the meeting. Because during the time of the meeting, I was hiding. Where were you hiding? When the meeting was taking place, I was hiding in the brush. But I would spend the night in the kitchen of the official. So you were hiding in the bush, but then how would you know what was going on then during the course of this meeting? I went there because the person was saying that they were no longer going to kill girls and women. No, I think there's some confusion now. Microphone to the president, please. I think it was said that she said that there was some mention of statements made by Mr. Akiyezu at the meeting, which supposes that the witness herself was at the meeting. I was in the meeting. Very well. Okay, I think that a moment ago there was some error. We had the understanding that she left before the ending of the meeting. No. When she heard the statements made by different speakers, she was afraid, and then that's when she left. Is that right? You mean to go where? asked the witness. No, when she heard Mr. Akeizu talk about the snake and the killing of Tutsi, she said this morning that she became afraid and then she fled. Is that correct? I fled after people were scattered and those who were in the Ryo Kaminala were killed. I'm not talking about that. You took flight on several occasions. Right now, I would like to know whether you were at the meeting, what you heard at the meeting, and what you did afterwards, after this meeting. It's very clear. Please answer the question. First question, were you at the meeting? Yes, I was at the meeting. Second question, did you hear what was stated by Mr. Akeizu during the meeting about the serpent? Yes, I heard that. And after these meetings, I went to hide before then. I went back to where I was hiding before. All right, that's all we were asking. We didn't ask you to say anything more. Now, you left that location when there was a rumor that you left your hiding place when there was a rumor that they were no longer killing women and children. Is that right? I went to the meeting when it was said that they were no longer going to kill girls and women. And when I arrived at the meeting, it's when I heard that even children that were within the mother themselves, within the stomach of the mother, was also going to be killed. All right, that's clear now. And when you heard these words, these statements, then you returned to your hiding place. Is that correct? Yes, that's right. All right. Counsel, please continue. Thank you, Mr. President. Now, during the course of this meeting, were you identified as a Tutsi? I do not know whether people knew or not, but they did not say it to me. How many days did you spend in the brush? I don't know how many days, except that my younger sister came to join me in the kitchen, and I spent a day in the brush, and then during the night in the kitchen, until we were brought to the roadblock. And then the next day, people were brought and killed there. If I understand correctly, everyone was killed there except for you. Is that right? Are you talking about other members of my family? Yes, that's right, says counsel. They were killed, except for myself and my paternal aunt. Why were you spared? I was hiding. And then also they slept with me. I was hiding, and then these people slept with me. That's how I can explain it, why I survived. And the other women who were killed, weren't they also raped? I do not know because I was not with them. And your sister, was she raped as well? No, she was a very young girl. She was only in her first year. How old was she? She was 7 years old. Mr. President, no further questions. Thank you, counsel. Mr. Prosecutor, I give you the floor for any clarifications you might want.
No questions, Your Honor. Thank you.
Counsel? Mr. Prosecutor? You will bring us a witness this afternoon, is that right?
Yes, Your Honor. We will have two witnesses. The first witness will be an investigator who will speak of the diagram, Exhibit 127. It should be short.
Hello. Repeat.
We will have two witnesses for this afternoon. The first witness will be Investigator Scarp, who will speak of Exhibit 127. And then immediately following, we'll have Witness KK.
I think we're doing quite well because we've been able to go through the examination in chief, cross-examination, and no re-examination. We're going quite quickly. If we continue on this same rate, then we'll be done with this case in no time at all. So it's already 12:15, so I think we're going to break now and resume again this afternoon. Court stands adjourned.
Rise.
At 3 p.m.